All right, guys, you are locked on Falcons. I am your host, Aaron Freeman, and today I am giving you my reaction to the Jalen Collins release, the possibility of bringing back Dwight Freeney, and much, much more.
You are locked on Falcons, your daily podcast on the Atlanta Falcons, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, guys, so I promised you guys yesterday after my rapid reaction to the Monday night win that I would definitely have a show on Wednesday. Unfortunately, due to this sort of short notice of it all and my expectations that I'd be traveling today to go home for the holidays because I was off work, I wasn't able to wrestle up a guest to sort of recap that game. Maybe we'll talk about that later this week on a fan talk that I'm hoping that I can get scheduled with somebody. But yeah, you know, today is, you know, an interesting thing happened, and I figured since I talked, devoted a whole episode to this back in August, why not devote a whole episode to this now in November, and that is the release of Jalen Collins. Also, interesting enough, Dwight Freeney got cut today, and I saw a lot of people like, oh, the Falcons should re-sign Dwight Freeney, but it's baffling to me how many people still think that's a realistic take, but you know, maybe, you know, I've been very wrong before about Falcons roster decisions, so maybe they throw us a curveball and decide to bring back Dwight Freeney for some apparent reason. Let's get the Freeney thing out of the way, because I don't think there's as much to say about that. It's pretty straightforward. You guys know I'm a big fan of Dwight Freeney. I've been, you know, I was advocating for the Falcons to bring him all the way back in 2013, finally got my wish in 2016, thought he was a big time contributor to the roster for a good portion of last season. But, you know, I think that ship has sort of sailed. Like, it's not that I'm like anti the Falcons bringing back Dwight Freeney, but I don't see how it really benefits the Falcons in a major way, because you have to think of it from the perspective of someone is going to be marginalized by the addition of Dwight Freeney. Dwight Freeney is a nickel pass rusher. And right now, the Falcons' nickel edge rushers are Adrian Claiborne, Tack McKinley, and Vic Beasley. And you can't play all four of those guys. Or, I mean, you could, but one of those guys is going to be playing inside at defensive line, and that's going to take Grady Jarrett off the field or Don Terry Poe off the field. And so all of a sudden, you're going to put somebody in a position that they're not necessarily best used to succeed. You know, maybe there's a reality somewhere where Tack McKinley gets kicked inside. I know UCLA did that on occasion with him, but like he hasn't really done that at all in the NFL level. So I don't know why all of a sudden in week, you know, 12 of the NFL regular of his rookie season, you'd be like, oh yeah, no, we're going to make Tack McKinley an interior pass rusher now. But the point is, like, Freeney plays right defensive end and nickel. That's what his role is going to be. That's what he's been his entire career. That's not going to suddenly change. And, you know, if you're going to play Dwight Freeney for 10 snaps or 20 snaps or 50 snaps, that means that somebody else is not going to be able to play for those 10 snaps or 20 snaps or 50 snaps at that right defensive end in the nickel. And for the most part this year, Claiborne and Tack McKinley have been rotating at that spot. You know, Brooks Reed has sort of sprinkled here or there in that role when one of those two guys needs a breather or something like that. But for the most part, it's been Claiborne and Tack splitting, where Claiborne getting the majority of the reps. Now, the good thing about Adrian Claiborne is he can also play inside. So as we saw a year ago, you can play Dwight Freeney and Adrian Claiborne together at the same time. So in reality, when you do this, start doing the math, you're like, okay, well, if we're going to sign Dwight Freeney, that means Tack McKinley is not going to is going to be Tack McKinley that most likely suffers, because all those reps that are now going to start going to Dwight Freeney are reps that are going to be taken away from Tack McKinley. And I think that's the fundamental part that a lot of Falcon fans don't understand, that have been pushing for the Falcons to sign Dwight Freeney for the last X number of months since April or May, haven't understood that the Falcons, the minute they drafted Tack McKinley, they had moved on from Dwight Freeney. I was able to win some $5 bets off of people this summer because they were mistakenly of this belief that, you know, the Falcons are still going to re-sign Dwight Freeney. It's like, no, they basically told us the entire offseason that they have no intention of signing Dwight Freeney. And it goes back to sort of the Dan Quinn mantra that we discovered early in his career when he first became the Falcons head coach, is if you ask him about a player, he's going to sound like he's not going to be committal. he's going to be like, yeah, well, we'll think about it and we'll talk about it. And it's like, you know, it's just him. It's his way, instead of doing the Belichick mumble or whatever, and be like, rah, 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 it's his way of sort of just like brushing off the media to a certain extent. So you can, like, we can ask him, like, you know, what do you think about Michael Vick coming out of retirement? Oh, we'll think about it and do all this sort of thing. I have no intention of doing that, you know, or whatever. So I don't think a lot of people really understand that, you know, the Dwight Freeney thing just isn't going to happen. Now, I mean, you know, Falcons could always throw a curveball. They have a tendency to do that, but it doesn't make a whole lot of sense. If you want to develop Tack McKinley long term, and the way that Tack has been playing as of late over the last month or so, I don't see why you would throw Freeney into the mix to disrupt that. Because again, at some point, one of these guys, either whether it's Claiborne, whether it's Tack, or whether it's Beasley, the most likely would be Tack. One of these guys is going to have to spend their time on the bench for every rep that Dwight Freeney gets. And, you know, I know many people are like, well, Dwight Freeney would be a good influence in the locker room. And I'm like, okay, sure. Yeah, you know, we already have one player at linebacker that's supposedly a good influence in the locker room. But, like, you know, I tend to be of the philosophy that you win football games by guys being on the field making plays, not being rah, rah, rah guys on the sideline. You know, but, like, I know that's a crazy out there philosophy. And I know a lot of people don't necessarily believe in that. But, you know, I think when if you, you know, you got to tackle DeSean Jackson, and no amount of being a good locker room influence is going to tackle DeSean Jackson or tackle Doug Martin or block Levante David or Gerald McCoy. You know, I don't know. Call me crazy for thinking such frivolous thoughts, but, you know. Now, guys, I, before we move on to the Jalen Collins thing, I do want to let you guys know that we have a new partnership coming up on this podcast and this podcast network. If you guys are into fantasy football, I think you guys should listen up. It's not too late to join the 500,000 people that have already downloaded Draft this season. You get to play in a real live snake draft, but you're done in under 5 minutes, and they last for just 1 week. You can join one right now for the week, this upcoming week, week 12. The best part, you can play with for cold hard cash, and get this, your chances of winning are 80% better than they are on salary cap sites. All new players get a free entry into a real money draft when you make your first deposit, but you have to use the promo code LONFL. That's right. Play a real money game for free just by using the promo code LONFL, and it gets even better. Draft is so sure you'll love it that they're even offering Locked On Falcons listeners a money back guarantee of up to $100. Just search Draft in your app store or go to draft.com and come play free right now with the promo code LONFL. All right, let's get into this Jalen Collins thing. You know, it's not surprising to me that at all that the Falcons cut him. To me, it was always a toss-up whether the Falcons were going to cut him. And I know that's, like, crazy to a lot of people listening. But if you go back and listen to that Rapid Reaction podcast I did on August 7th, I think it was, when we found out that he was suspended, my opinion hasn't changed since then. And you really listen to that podcast, I'll summarize right now. But what I said then was the team's decision on whether to cut Jalen Collins would be tied largely, in my opinion then and in my opinion now, to how well Brian Poole and the rest of the cornerbacks played this year. And, you know, for me, back in August, before the preseason had really started, I had serious questions over whether Poole would be able to hold his own playing in the slot this year as a nickel cornerback. I think Poole has actually done a pretty good job. I've prayed the secondary numerous times on this podcast, on previous episodes over the course of this season. And while I don't specifically praise Poole to the degree that I've praised other guys in the secondary, like Keanu Neal and Alford and Trufant, and to a lesser extent, Rico, Poole is a part of that success. He is a component of that success. I don't think he's played amazing this year. I think in the same sort of way that Wes Schweitzer has been, I think he's been a solid role player. And he, you know, he's held his own and is far from a liability. And that's really all you can ask from a second year, 5'9", you know, 195 pound safety that's basically playing nickel cornerback for you. If you look at Pro Football Focus yards per coverage snap metric, he ranks 33rd among the 50 slot corners that have played at least 25% of their team snaps this year, and 30th in passer rating allowed. that, you know, that basically makes him, according to those metrics, a slightly below average slot cornerback. You know, basically he's the Case Keenum of nickel cornerbacks. I guess you want to throw a comparison out there. Not necessarily someone that you would look at and be like, oh yeah, that guy's a long-term asset, but he gets the job done. And he also seems to be a favorite of Marquand Manuel. And again, this is speculation, but it wouldn't shock me at all if Manuel was sort of the advocate that, or the non-advocate, I guess, for Jalen Collins. There have been rumors over the past 6 months that, you know, maybe the reasons for why the team did this with Poole and this versus Collins, I think we've discussed this previously on the podcast, was maybe related to maybe Manuel having certain feelings about Jalen Collins and whatnot. You remember that report from a year ago that everybody flipped out over from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel that said basically the coaching staff was not a big fan of Jalen Collins, and it was really the front office, Dimitroff and Pioli, that pushed for the team to draft him in the second round in 2015 as opposed to the coaching staff, and that caused people to freak out. But, you know, I don't think that rumor was made up by any means, but, you know, I don't think it necessarily meant, as many people took it then, that, you know, Jalen Collins was done as a Falcon, as we saw throughout the course of the rest of 2016. Obviously, circumstances changed in the last 6 months, but you know, I think it's more palatable that Jalen Collins walks now, given that Poole has played as well as he has this year. Now, you know, when we get into the postseason, I still have question marks surrounding Brian Poole. And will he start to be a little bit more of a shortcoming for this defense come January? I don't know. That's possible. We'll see. You know, you're assuming that he'll be having to cover guys like Robert Woods and Adam Thielen and Nelson Aguilar as a slot corner in the postseason. And all those guys have been playing really, really well. I think actually Robert Woods is like the number two ranked slot receiver in the NFL, according to some of Pro Football Focus's metrics. Thielen is a top three wide receiver overall, not just being a slot receiver. You look at their Pro Football Focus's yards per route run metric, it's Julio Jones 1, Antonio Brown 2, and Adam Thielen 3. So, you know, he's taken over that A.J. Green, Dez Bryant slot, or Odell Beckham slot as, you know, one of the quote-unquote elite receivers in the league. So I think that will be a significant challenge to Brian Poole, and we do face Adam Thielen and the Vikings in a couple of weeks. So we'll find out, you know, quite a bit about Poole in that situation. And so, you know, I think it'll be interesting to see how Poole finishes out the rest of the season. If we're looking at this, you know, I think a lot of people today were like, yeah, the Falcons are going to have to draft a cornerback relatively high next offseason. Maybe, you know, if Poole takes care of business, I don't think that's necessarily true. I think that's more of a day three sort of mid-round, late-round pick. But if Poole does struggle at various points the rest of the season, then, you know, I think, you know, a day two, second, third-round pick is certainly a possibility. I think if you're talking about letting Collins walk, that's really the reason why it's a quote-unquote bad move. And I think this is somewhat what I talked about with Evan Birchfield last week when we did our fan talk last Thursday, and we talked about the releases of Brian Hill and Jermaine Grace. And I don't know if I explicitly said it in that podcast because it was a little fresh and I hadn't maybe not had as much time to organize my thoughts. But like the reason why you're not necessarily looking at these moves as positive developments for the Falcons is because you're losing young assets that potentially could develop. Now, whether or not they will develop is anybody's guess, and no one should sit here, whether, you know, whoever it is, and sit here and pretend like they can predict the future. It's a roll of the dice with every player. But the problem is, you look at Hill, and we know that the running back position is a little bit up in the air long term because you don't know about Freeman's concussion. If this is a one-time thing and we're never half going to worry about Devontae Freeman getting a concussion at any point in the next couple of years or the next time you play, you know, who knows? And then you have Tevin Coleman, who's got what, one more year under his contract after 2017, signed through the 2018 season. And then you have to make a decision about keeping him. And so stashing a guy like Brian Poole, whether it was as a third or fourth running back, was a worthwhile proposition. And you know, Teron Ward's a fine role player, but I don't think anybody envisions Teron Ward necessarily being able to sort of be that guy that you want to definitely try to get 10 to 15 or more touches a game. You know, Brian Hill has that potential. And so losing that asset means that at some point in time, you're probably going to have to replace that asset. Now, it may not be in 2018, it may not even be in 2019, but at some point, you know, you're probably going to have to find another running back that, you know, that you're going to hope that can sort of be your insurance policy, be your Teron Ward upgrade, or be your Coleman replacement, or be your Devontae Freeman replacement at some point. And you've lost that now. You no longer have the ability for Brian Hill to be that guy. And basically, the future investment that you have at that position is going to be investment that you won't have at any of the other positions. It's the same thing with linebacker, with Jermaine Grace, where you know, you have Kamal Ishmael, you have Lori Reynolds. Both of those guys are free agents next year. Sean Witherspoon's a free agent next year. None of those guys are guaranteed to come back. You know, those guys contribute on special teams, which is fine, but you're not necessarily looking at any of those guys as like, oh man, if Deion Jones goes down long term, or if Duke Riley goes down long term, or Devondre Campbell goes down long term, I'm looking at Kamal Ishmael or Leroy Reynolds as guys that are like, I want to see starting 8 to 12 games. You know, can they fill those roles? Sure. That's why they're still on the team. They've shown, you know, at various times they've shown that they can sort of be competent replacements, but none of those guys are good replacements. And I think the thing about with Jermaine Grace was the belief, the potential that he could be that good replacement that you're like, oh yeah, you know, the drop off from Duke Riley to Jermaine Grace is minimal. And in fact, Jermaine Grace is one of the better backup linebackers in the league and could start on, you know, 12 teams around the league or something like that. You know, whether that's a realistic expectation, who knows? Depends on how you feel about Jermaine Grace and probably how you feel about starting linebackers on 12 teams in the league. But it is one of those things where you look at it and you're like, that's a lost asset. And now at some point in time, if you want to find that player, which I don't think you're going to find in Leroy Reynolds or Sean Witherspoon or Kamal Ishmael at this point, now you're going to have to use another asset on that, whether that's a fourth round pick or seventh round pick or whatever it is, or an undrafted free agent. Again, that's another asset that you've just lost. And the same thing with Jalen Collins. Like, you know, we look at this cornerback position. We talked about it back in August, or I talked about it back in August. I always use the royal we for some reason. And you talk about sort of how maybe Robert Alford, 2018 is going to be Robert Alford's last year in Atlanta. It's possible, depending on how he plays. Now, if he continues to play like he has this year and last year, for the rest of this year and into 2018, I don't think 2018 is going to be his last year. But if he should suffer some decline, if he, you know, should suffer some injury, and that's, this is part of the issue with playing professional football or building a roster in professional football. It's a violent game. Guys get hurt. Injuries are inevitable. We saw on Monday night, Keanu Neal got knocked out of the game. Now, fortunately, DeMonte Casey came in, played some positives. He had some experience playing that Buffalo game, playing some strong side line, strong safety. But, you know, it could have been a situation where, you know, when you don't have worthwhile depth out there, you always have to, you're only as strong as your depth. And so you can't assume, you know, anything going forward with professional football players just because the nature of the game makes it a short-term proposition that you're going to play professional football. And so you can't just assume that, oh, yeah, this guy's good now and he's going to be good for the next 3 years. Maybe, you know. Like, we look at Jake Matthews, for example. Jake Matthews probably is going to get a long-term extension next offseason at some point. I think he deserves it. I know other people don't necessarily feel that way. He'll probably get paid more than probably what would be ideal, but given he plays a premium position, you know, you tend to have to overpay guys. Same as cornerbacks, same as wide receivers, same as quarterbacks. But it's one of those things where it's like, we could be looking at a situation where Jake Matthews been nicked up throughout his career. We could be looking at a Sam Baker type of situation where 2 years from now, it's like, oh, Jake Matthews just can't stay healthy, you know, or a Jake Long type of situation, to use an example of a player that's actually good, but injury prone. You know, he just beat up and his career winds up only being 5 or 6 years, as opposed to the 10 to 12 years that many of us envisioned when we drafted him. Who knows? I don't know. Like, or he could wind up playing another 7 years in Atlanta and be the book in left tackle. Who knows? But like the point is, and the reason why, you know, we get into the nitty gritty of these minutia with these roster stuff, and, you know, we get a little too nerdy about it, is because, like, you know, having to be able to pick up a Jermaine Grace off the scrap heap, be able to pick up a guy like Brian Poole, as we saw, and getting some of these solid role players, not necessarily long-term starters, but these solid role players, these good backups for basically little to no investment, is like getting free money. It's like getting, you know, a free t-shirt, or not even a free t-shirt, but something free that is valuable to you. And that's why it's worthwhile to sort of keep these guys around. And I think with Jalen Collins, it was like, you know, give him another shot to see if he can, you know, rebuild his trust. Like, I don't think it's as a risk to, you know, locker room chemistry or anything like that, or he was a distraction. Like, I think all that stuff is BS personally. I think, you know, I think the whole distraction talk is kind of a dog whistle used as how it's used in the NFL. But that's a conversation for another day. And I think, you know, giving him another chance in 2018 to sort of redeem himself. If he didn't, if he messed up again, guess what? He's basically out of league at that point. It's like your bed is made for you. You know, he gets suspended indefinitely, and you don't have to worry about it. It's like, oh no, we gave this guy a third shot. Oh no, we look bad. Like, you don't look bad. You know, I don't think it's the downside as people portrayed it in August. Keeping him, I don't see the downside to the same degree that other people saw it as. But, you know, other people have differing opinions, and again, I'm not going to rehash too much of that. I guess for me, the bigger issue I had is sort of that you saw a lot of people, or at least I saw a lot of people, or perceived a lot of people, you know, I'm paranoid, but a lot of people sort of that were vehemently on the "we need to cut Jalen Collins" bandwagon in August didn't hear as much of those people saying those things now. And I, like, to me, I'm like, where did that conviction go? You were die hard. The Falcons have to get rid of Jalen Collins 3 months ago, and now, or 3.5 months ago. And now you're like, oh yeah, Jalen Collins coming back in 2 weeks. We'll see what role he has and whatnot. And it's like, I don't understand how you can have those two sort of viewpoints. And, like, you know, this is on my own personal hang up, and I'll wrap things up with this. Hopefully I don't go too far on this rant, but I don't know, just that type of quote unquote analysis or fun analysis, fan. And now I tried to make a portmanteau. I screwed it up. I'm sorry. But like that to me is just very fake. The type of people I see it for some people, it's not necessarily everybody. It's just, it really bothers me that a handful of people, I think, tend to do this. I'm probably guilty of it on occasion, but like, I don't think it's certainly anything that I do deliberately or serially. But it's like, you have an opinion A at this point in time, and then weeks or months later, you have opinion B, which is completely opposite to A. And you then pretend like, oh, B was the opinion that you've had the entire time. You never had A. And like, I'm not sitting here saying that people shouldn't be allowed to change their opinion. By all means, change your opinion. If you get better, more useful information, by all means, be malleable enough as open-minded enough to be willing to change your opinion. But I just don't like it when people pretend like they never had a different opinion to start with. Like, for example, like if I change my opinion about something, I'm not going to sit here and be like, my new opinion is this, and then not talk about what I'll say, oh, I thought this before, but now I think this, and I'll be open with that. Like, you know, I don't have a problem. You know, I don't like being wrong. No one likes being wrong. And, you know, I'm as stubborn as they come in terms of information and data changing some hard held opinions of mine. But it is one of those things where, like, I'm not going to run away from my opinions. If I thought something, I'm going to not sit here and pretend like I didn't never thought it to begin with. And I just think with the whole Jalen Collins thing, and I think, you know, you saw examples of this with the Rashid Hageman thing as well. And I know that's a little bit more of a dicey situation, given his transgressions, but it's just weird to me that, you know, to use the Hageman example, in September of 2016, you know, people are sitting there advocating that the Falcons need to cut Rashid Hageman and are strongly advocating that. And again, I don't have a problem with that opinion. That's your opinion. But then we get to March of 2017 or December of 2016 or March of 2017, July of 2017, August of 2017. Where did those opinions go? Like, if you had the conviction to believe in that in September, why don't you still have that conviction in July or March or whatever? And why aren't you still sitting there saying when you're doing your, you know, your quote unquote roster breakdowns or your camp competitions, why isn't there a sentence or a paragraph devoted to, I think the team should cut Rashid Hageman? You know, like, I don't get that. Like, if you have that strong enough of a conviction to believe that, you know, your favorite football team should cut a player, and, you know, with the exception of Nick Williams and maybe Sean Weatherspoon, I tend to try not to be of the mindset of, you know, the Falcons should cut a guy. I'm not, you know, I don't think it's quite right to wish someone to become unemployed or anything like that. But it is one of those things, like, if you have that strong enough of a conviction, and particularly for the reasons involving Hageman then and Collins then, what has changed over that period of time that would then cause you not to have as strong a conviction, you know, 6 months later or 3 months later or whatever, a year later or whatever? That's the part I don't get. And so, I don't know. To me, it strikes me, again, this is my own personal issue. I'm not saying I'm right on this issue. This is, and I'd be more than happy to hear someone else explaining it to me. But, you know, that to me kind of comes off as fake a little bit. It's like a fake, you know, it's the whole thing I ranted about before, where it's like, how dare you, know, like the whole how dare you, like, it just comes off as disingenuous to me. So like, that was what I was tweeting about. If you saw my tweet the other day about, you know, people overreacting, calling out people that were pushing for Collins' release. It wasn't that I didn't think the Falcons wouldn't cut him. It was, I just, why aren't people as strongly opinionated about these things in November as they were in August? And if you're not, it just, that to me sort of rings a little bit hollow, that you're just, your anger and your whatever frustration over that whole Collins situation just to me seemed very hollow and fake to me. But that's it. You know, I will not sit here and pretend that, you know, my worldview is the right worldview. It's certainly, I know it, I know for a fact it's probably the wrong worldview. But it is my worldview nonetheless. And as the great Adam Sandler once said in a beloved movie by the name of The Wedding Singer, I have a microphone, and so therefore you guys are compelled to listen to what I have to say. Yeah, that's it, guys. I should also remind you guys that we are still doing our thing with MyBookie. As they say, where you're betting is just as important as who you're betting on. And I'll let you guys know that you guys should head over to mybookie.ag, use the promo code LOCKEDON for your 100% deposit bonus. There are plenty of online sports books out there, but MyBookie is the only one that gets my seal of approval. And it's by far the best sports book I've ever used. It has been in business for years. The reputation is rock solid. They do 100% cash bonuses. So right off the bat, you know you're making money for doing absolutely nothing. They have fast payouts as well. You can have your own glitzy Las Vegas casino experience right from your smartphone. Go to mybookie.ag, place your bets. Tell them I sent you by using the promo code LOCKEDON. That's LOCKEDON. You play, you win, you get paid. That's it, guys. There's my rapid reaction to the Jalen Collins release. You know, I hope the Falcons cornerback situation is good. It's been so far this year. I think, you know, the play of Poole this year has sort of eased the minds of the Falcons so far, and that's led to Collins' release. We'll see whether he catches on with the rest of the league. I think he's a good player. I still think he's a salvageable NFL starter. You know, he's more like a Dante Robinson than necessarily the next Desmond Trufant. But, you know, as we saw with Dante Robinson, there's a place for that type of player in the league. So we'll see what happens with Jalen Collins. We'll see what happens with Jermaine Grace. We'll see what happens with Brian Hill. We'll see what happens with Patrick DeMarco. No, I'm not letting it go. But it is one of those things where it's like, you know, the Falcons let go of a lot of players that I would, you know, wouldn't necessarily wish for them to let go. It is what it is. I sit here on my desk chair complaining about it and typing about it on Twitter and whatnot. But what can I do? Except for just keep complaining and tweeting about it. Or, you know, some of you are like, hey, you can stop complaining and tweeting about it so we don't have to listen to it anymore. But that's not an option. You know, I like to complain. If there's nothing to complain about, then what good am I? That's what I do. As I said on yesterday's show, if you missed the rapid reaction to the Falcons' Monday night win, we will have one more show later this week after Thanksgiving, whether it's Saturday or Sunday morning posted. I don't know yet. Depends on, again, the schedule. I'll bring on a guest so you guys don't have to listen to me talk again for X number of minutes. And in that episode, we'll talk about this. Probably we'll talk about the Seahawks game. We'll probably talk about the upcoming Bucks game. And if you guys in the meantime have specific questions for me that you want me to check out on the film this week as I'm celebrating eating leftover turkey sandwiches, when I do that, you can send them in to all the places that you probably are well aware of by now. Locked On Falcons is the show's Twitter handle. That's probably the best way for those film-specific questions. It's much easier for me to find and organize those questions when you send it to that account as opposed to Falc fans. But again, I know many of you still like to send it to Falc fans. And if you just indicate in the tweet that it's a podcast-related topic, suggestion, comment, or question, then it will be forwarded and whatnot. And certainly I'll take care of it. But if you don't like Twitter limits, LockedOnFalcons@mail.com is the email address. LockedOnFalcons is the Facebook page. FalcFans.com, you can click the comment there. That's where the show is posted daily, as well as us, LockedOnFalcons.com. And that is where we will have this week's Q&A. It'll be a written form. Yes, you'll have to read. Oh, no. If you guys send those in, you know, by when Thursday or Friday, I'll be certainly sure to get them by then. I'll post them on LockedOnFalcons.com as this week's mailbag will probably, you know, assuming I get the normal amount of questions, it'll probably be a relatively longer one, but it'll be worth it. So we'll keep that going this week. Also want to remind you guys that, you know, the Pro Football Focus Edge subscription is still out there. You can win that by going to Locked On Falcons on iTunes, posting a review of this podcast, a 5-star review, only 5-star reviews. Leave your Twitter handle in the review, and you will be entered in to a drawing at the end of each week. One lucky podcast reviewer for the Locked On Podcast Network will be win a Pro Football Focus Edge subscription. That's a $40 value that you can get for free. With that includes player grades, snap counts, position rankings, fantasy projections, draft coverage, all that type of stuff, tools and charts. Some of the stats that I quoted on this episode, I looked up on Pro Football Focus using their Elite account. But some of them are Edge related. Don't worry about it. You can get some of the access to some of that stuff by checking out Edge. But if you do not win the Pro Football Focus Edge account, you can still get all the great Pro Football Focus content on the Locked On Podcast Network. Checking out Mike Renner on Locked On NFL with Matt Williamson every Wednesday. You can check out Jeff Ratcliffe on Locked On Fantasy every Thursday. That's with Benny Iyer. So that's it, guys. Sorry for the hectic schedule over the last couple of days. I know, you know, for those of you that, you know, the 12 of you that listen to this podcast that don't live in the United States, it's weird to see these things thrown out of whack because it's just a normal week in November to you. But, you know, here in these United States, the holidays are a pretty hectic time. This week in particular, with travel and work and all that sort of thing. And that's my excuse. I'll just use that as my excuse. It's not because I'm lazy or anything like that. It's just holidays are hectic. So we'll get back to our normal schedule next week. with the usual 5-day format. And that'll be that. So don't worry. Just, you know, it affects like 3 shows. No problem.
You are Locked On Falcons, your daily Atlanta Falcons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.